amazing in a lot of ways how innocent and trusting they are. I read once that how a parent, a mother especially, and a father of course, should always be careful how they treat and act in front of their children, because to them you are God. And I never had thought of that. You are everything to them. You are the supreme law and authority to them. And everything you say and do is the law to them. And all of your benefits is grace to them. And when we think about a little innocent child and try to think that Jesus was a man, but yet he was just as innocent as a little child. He was without sin. He had infinite love and faith and trust in his heavenly Father. And he went about doing good. And yet he was cruelly and wickedly treated, whipped unmercifully, and had done no wrong. And yet he opened not his mouth. It was like a lamb led to the slaughter. And so the Lord died and endured the cross. It said that Hebrew there said he despised the shame, but despising the shame, what is that right here? Says, wherefore, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so he saw the joy. For the joy, so looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and that's where our faith comes from. It's from the Lord Jesus. He is the author of it, and he is the finisher of it. In other words, he perfected faith. He lived it. He perfected it. His faith and his heavenly Father was perfect and without doubt, without any failing whatsoever. So he lived, became incarnate, and lived a life of faith. And as the author and finisher of our faith, he has given us part of his faith. He's given us faith like his faith. And of course, our faith looks at him. He's the object of our faith because he has fulfilled by faith every demand of the law, and to the satisfaction of God the Father. And if it had not been satisfactory to God the Father, he never would have been able to sit down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. The high priest, the prophets that we just read about, God spoke to us in divers manners and many ways by the prophets. And they told us about the law service and the high priest. And the high priest went in once a year into the Holy of Holies, And he went in with blood, went in with all the names of Israel, the children of Israel, on his breast and on his shoulders. And he went in and he made an atonement for them by spreading the blood on the mercy seat. He was atoning for the nation of Israel. It was not a general atonement, as we were saying a while ago. It was for a specific, particular people. And the Apostle Peter, moved by the Holy Ghost, compared the elect today. I started to read that a while ago. Peter, an apostle, Jesus Christ, writing to the elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience. And when we are Christ, according to the foreknowledge of God, in other words, he came according to the will and purpose of God. It wasn't something thought of after sin entered in. It wasn't something that was devised in an emergency. It was something that was purposed from all eternity, according to the will and the foreknowledge of God before the foundation of the world. And it was done for the elect. It was done for a particular people, which Israel as a nation was a type of. A type and a shadow. The high priest was a type of Christ, our great high priest. The prophets were a type of Christ as our prophet, and the kings were a type of king, which is Christ as our king. And Peter said that Israel had stumbled at that stumbling stone. In other words, they were looking for the Messiah, and they're still looking for him. But they did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. They stumbled. It says, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, that is unbelieving, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumbled at the word, being disobedient. Whereunto also they were appointed. But ye, this is the elect now that he's writing to, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so we... that's what we're here today for. He has called us as who are peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And beloved, it's a marvelous thing to have the light of the knowledge of the glory of God that shined in the face of Jesus Christ. And that is that he finished the work. He didn't start it and leave it up to the church to complete it, which we saw displayed on TV the other day. Jesus didn't start something and leave it up to his church to finish it. He finished it. He came to do the will of his Father, which is in heaven, and he did it. He didn't come to try to do it and fail to do it and do part of it and leave the rest of it for you and me to do. He did it on our behalf for us and completed the work. And he has applied this. He not only did something for us, but he does something in us, being sanctified. Well, he says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So Peter is saying here that when we love the brethren, we love the Lord, we love his brethren, that it's a form of purifying. The faith is a form of purifying our heart. And that the reason that we're able to do that is because we have been born again, and not of corruptible seed, and that's referring to Adam. We have inherited a corruptible seed from Adam, and that's the reason we die, because Adam sinned, and after he sinned, he begot a son in his own image and in his own likeness. And he had sinned and had fallen from his state of innocence before God when he begot children. And so we came into the world sinners, all with a sinful nature, to where we do sin. And but then, seeing that the condition we're in, we have to be born again, as the Lord Jesus told Nicodemus. And Peter says that if we have faith and love for the brethren, it's evidence that we've been born again, and not of corruptible seed like Adam was, but of incorruptible, which comes from the second Adam, the last man, which comes from Jesus Christ. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, it's being taught all over this land right now, in multitudes of churches, that the word of God here means the Bible. But the word of God here means Jesus Christ, the living word. We are born again by hearing his voice. He said, the hour is coming, now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. So we are born again by the word of God being spoken, and we live. He's the word. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God, John says. So Jesus is the word. And when he speaks, it's the word of God. Now, to prove that this is the correct interpretation right here, and you can receive all kinds of educated arguments that this means the written word. They'll tell you that you've got to train up preachers and train them up just right and send them off to preach the word, so that people can be born again. That's what that leads to. It takes money and men to get people born again, if that's true. But I'm going to read on here now. It says, but being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This is not going to abide forever. It's going to be burned up. And it's not living. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So up here, he's saying the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Down here, he's talking about the word of God which is preached unto you by the gospel. So this two different words here that he uses. The first word up here in the Greek is logos, which is when John says in the beginning was the word, that he says logos. But the written word, the spoken word that we speak is rhema, R-H-E-M-A. And this word down here says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which And that word is rhema, which is preached unto you. And so the Bible does not contradict itself. It's every bit of it is a word of truth, but it has to be rightly divided. So it doesn't say in one place that you're born by the word of God, which is a letter of the written word, and another place say that you're born of the Spirit. The Spirit, God, is three persons. And sometimes God is spoken of, the Spirit is spoken of as God, which He is. Sometimes Jesus, the Word, is spoken of as God, which He is. And sometimes the Father is spoken of as God, which He is. And they're all three God. So there's no contradiction in the Word when it speaks about these three persons. And they are of equal power and of equal wisdom and of equal everything, because they're all God. And one is not inferior to the other, although they, for our benefit, assume the position of Father, Son, and Spirit. And the Father decreed and elected the people and gave them to His Son. And the Son redeemed them by fulfilling the law on their behalf and suffering for their sins. And the Holy Spirit seeks them out, quickens them. Paul said, "And you who were dead in trespasses and sins hath He quickened." The Holy Spirit quickens them, makes them alive. And then when that happens, then you are a subject to believe the gospel. And the gospel is sent to you, to those who have been quickened by the Spirit of God. The Word does not quicken you. The Word brings the gospel, brings life and immortality to light. But it's being preached all over the country today that the gospel brings life. But we're plainly told that the gospel brings life and immortality to light. It gives us the knowledge of what God has done for us. And it is not dependent, God is not dependent upon man for born again His children. The Spirit, and He taught Nicodemus that for our benefit, that the Spirit blows where it pleases. No man controls that, can control it. And so is everyone that's born of the Spirit. So God is the author and giver of life. And faith is a fruit of the Spirit. When God gives you life, you have faith. Now, you can grow in the knowledge and of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you have faith, then the gospel is beneficial to you in giving you the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. By faith, we lay hope to this knowledge, and that's what the preacher is for, and that's what the apostles were for, and that's what the prophets were for, is to teach God's people and to tell them that Christ has redeemed them by atoning for them, by giving His life, by laying it down. Well, first He lived a sinless life to fulfill the law on their behalf, that they might have a garment of righteousness. You remember the wedding supper that Jesus, it said that the king held a wedding supper for His Son who was going to get married. Christ is our husband. We're married to Him. We're betrothed to Him. Now, we're going to have a wedding supper one night, one day. And well, the wedding supper, and they're actually going on now. We'll go out in the highways and the hedges and tell them to come in. Come in. It said the king came in and he saw a man there without a wedding garment. And he said, "Friend, how comest thou in here without a wedding garment?" And they said the man was speechless. Evidently, he just decided he'd go in and didn't know why he was even there, except he thought he would benefit from the wedding supper. But he didn't have a wedding garment on. And Jesus said, "Bind him hand and foot and throw him out." Well, the question arises, well, what is the wedding garment? Where would I get a wedding garment? How can I get into the wedding supper with a wedding garment? Well, your wedding garment is your cloak of righteousness, which you are trusting in that Christ has wrought out for you when he lived that sinless life and suffered on the cross for your sins. When you, by faith, lay hold to that, you have a wedding garment that clothes you in gleaming clean white. Your sins are not seen anymore because you have a wedding garment that Christ has provided for you. Just as he provided clothing for Adam and Eve by killing an innocent animal and making a coat of skins, they made themselves clothing with fig leaves. And that's what our works amounts to, is a clothing of fig leaves. But Jesus, it said, God made them a coat of skins. So an animal had to die for him to make them a coat of skins. And that was a type of Christ. He had to die to give us a cloak of righteousness. And that's our wedding garment. We can come into the wedding. We are married to Christ because he elected us. He died for us. He suffered for us. He perfected the law for us. He is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. If you believe Jesus fulfilled the law, then he is the end of that law for righteousness. He becomes your righteousness, because he perfected the law in his obedience. And we are the benefactors, God's elect. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. A priest offers up sacrifices to God. That's what we are doing here today. We are offering up sacrifices of praises and thanksgiving to our God through Jesus Christ our Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, if we are what we hope to be. And that is his elect, his chosen, his redeemed. He redeemed us from our sinful, lost, condemned condition. And a man that's not under the blood is condemned already. Christ said, he's condemned already. We come into the world condemned. And so we are a peculiar people that should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness. That call is equivalent to quickened. He has quickened you, called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. By nature, we believe in salvation by works. We're in darkness. We think we can work our way to heaven. But when the light comes in, then we flee to Jesus, who is our light, who is our life, who is our liberty, who is our love, who is life eternal and everlasting. May God add his blessings to his precious word. You have a hymn selected there.
226.
We publish the doors of the church open. If there's one or more here today that loves the Lord and believes that He died for your sins, and you want to confess Him publicly, take on His name publicly, and be a member of His church. His visible church. Couldn't think of it. If you were one of His and you were born again, you are a member of the universal invisible church that will be assembled one day. But He has commanded you to come out from the world and to be a member of His visible church, that you might be identified and praise His name for all His marvelous benefits. So we give you that privilege while we assemble together as we sing number 226. Sing, brethren, when you're ready.
The Church of Christ we have today, a blessing from the Lord. He gave her to His Son to save and take her home alone. The Church of God is singing now, the winter's past and gone. Rise up, my fair one, come away. I'll take you home to stay. She was His bride before she knew. She had a past come near, and when for her His choice was made, it caused her to draw near. The Church of God is singing now, the winter's past and gone. Rise up, my fair one, come away. I'll take you home to stay. When she adorned with all His grace shall be exalted there, no queen with all her glory here. Whatever path so fair, the Church of God is singing now, the winter's past and gone. Rise up, my fair one, come away. I'll take you home to stay.
I don't know of any appointments about, but we have some lunch here. A little short, but that's probably enough for everybody. But all we need is to bring back to the stay and eat with us if you possibly can, and fellowship with us while we eat and break and break. Does anybody have any announcements that they'd like to make?
Go ahead. Come bring out lunch.
20 seconds. Thank you. Next second Sunday in May, we do not bring out lunch here because of Mother's Day. People love to go home and take the mother out for lunch. So we skip lunch that day.
We go out to eat and restaurant together, some of us, but we don't drink lots. So we want to remember that. All hearts and minds satisfied will ask the Lord in this business. Most kind and merciful Heavenly Father, it's again that we bow in the precious name of Jesus, thanking thee for thy many blessings, thanking thee, dear Lord, for thy church, the kingdom of heaven. It's in our hearts, we trust that thou hast put it there, and as we assemble together as a manifestation of the church of the kingdom of heaven that's here in the world. We thank you, dear Lord, for thy precious truths and the witness of the Holy Spirit that bears witness of these things to our very soul. Lord, we thank you for each household that's here this day, that's come to worship and lend a praise and thanksgiving to thee. And we pray that as we take the part in hand, that God will go with each and every one of us as we go our several ways. Be our light and darkness, our strength and weakness, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.